Wonderful weekend in Tennessee, and for those who couldn't make it, we have the sermons and things online, but I tell you, that's just a highlight. It was just such a just a wonderful highlight in my own personal life of knowing those people for many years, but it's good to be back in the service of God. Just keep them all in prayer. I hope we can continue that fellowship, and that's what the Lord wants, is fellowship among those who are walking in the light. Amen. Let's just sing that song, He Touched Me, and we'll ask Brother Colley to come for the reading of the word this morning. Oh, I was shackled by a heavy burden. If you need a touch from God this morning, He's here to meet you. Oh, neath the load of guilt and shame. Of that. Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul, because something happened. I met this blessed Savior. Oh, and since I met this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole, can you praise Him this morning? Oh, I shall never cease to praise Him, for I will shout it while eternity rolls. Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me.
Again with all of you, and just pray that the Lord will bless us and lead us. I was thinking how Brother Bob was going to Sunday school. Sometimes you run into things that's so hard you think we should not be angry and be upset with people. But late Carl asked me, he said, I'm sick, would you bring me some orange juice? About 15 miles from where I live. I said, well, okay. I get in my truck, spend my money, take her orange juice. So here's your orange juice with that air viral scowl on her face. That's not the kind of orange juice I drink. You try not to be angry. But Lord, just forgive me. So, sometimes things happen the way you don't intend for them to. But that's why we have a God that's loving and kind and will forgive us for all these things. So just ask Him to bless us. We're going to read from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, We are grateful and we're thankful that we have you to call upon, Lord, to help us, Father, when we are weak, Lord, and direct us. Lord, that we will regain our strength and be blessed and be thankful to you. Lord, we ask you to help those who know not God and who seek not his understanding or his way. But Lord Jesus, you are kind and loving, even as you hung upon the cross, suffering. Lord, you said, Father, forgive them. Lord, let us have that same kind of love in our hearts. And let us be strong. Father, let us walk before you. Lord, let us seek your word, for it is here for us. God, and we love you, and we ask you that we love one another and be thankful for all things that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
Who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
He will not always sin, neither will he keep his anger forever.
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are of his dust. God bless you. You may be seated.
Brother Colley, we all can relate to you in that situation many times where we put forth a effort and go the extra mile and you just don't receive that gratitude. But the Lord, I tell you, he sees everything you do, every little thing that we do for others. Like the scripture says, the least you've done it unto me. Even if you don't get the gratitude on this side, I believe what you did was just the right thing in heaven, and that's what we all strive for. Amen. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering? Sing that song, coming down, page 43. Amen. I hope you come with an appetite this morning. We come to come and dine, see what the Lord has for us this morning. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. It's so sweet to sup with Jesus the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calling, come and dine. We may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Add the multitude, water into wine, to the calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land. Thus obeying Christ's command, for the master called to them, come and dine. They had their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfied the hungry all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, to be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water. Hungry calleth now, come and dine. Sing that chorus, Heavenly Father. I appreciate you. Kia F. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. And Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Inside me, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort. Let's all stand as Brother Luis comes this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Spirit, you're a comfort to me. And Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Inside me, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Can you truly say that in your heart? Amen. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are truly a comfort to me. When you're not around, when you're not near me, I feel it. But when you're near me, I feel it too. Amen. Do you desire God, amen, in that way that you know and you miss it when you're not in His presence? Amen. That's how we want to feel God, and that's how we want to be around serving Him. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one of your smiling faces. And appreciate you all making it out this morning. Amen. I want to thank beforehand those that pitched in and helped, you know, during the time when we were out. Brother Mike, we appreciate you filling in. Brother John, we appreciate you all filling in. And we just thank you. Thank each and every one of you for helping out. Amen. We had, for those who didn't know, that we were in Canada a few weeks ago. And we had a good trip. And didn't go to expect to minister over there. I'd preached at the church over there before. But Brother John Danko over there, he told me, he said, when you come over here, you're always going to preach. So. So I said, well, I didn't come to preach. But we had a good time in the Lord, and we just appreciate it. It was just really, really refreshing, and so we just thank God. Thank you for your prayers. And also thank you all for everything that you did and making your way out to Tennessee as well. Like Brother Joe said, we'd been knowing the people over there for a good while. Some of you here longer than even us. And it was just good to be with them and good to fellowship with them. And I think our presence there refreshed them. Amen. Keep moving on. Amen. That's what it's all about. This thing's about over. Amen. And so it's not time to put walls. That was back then. All right. But it's not time to put walls anymore. And don't even use the word of God to put walls either. There's no excuse anymore. Amen. It's time to just embrace each other. Because what was Jesus' last prayer for us in John 17? That we love one another. Right? He didn't say, put walls if they don't agree with you. No. He said, we love one another. And he didn't give conditions. He said, you love one another. And as the time's drawing near, amen, and things are getting tighter and tighter, you squeeze them, you know, closer to each other. Like a cows and the cattle out in the field, when an earthquake is about to happen, what do? They squeeze closer together under a tree. This is what we should be doing in this our day. But what Satan wants to do is he wants to use the excuse of the word of God. This brother doesn't see it the way you see it. I'm just going to separate them. The word is the separator for sure. And we separate straightly from sin. Amen. And deliberate things. But if a brother's trying to get to the same heaven that you are, let's see how I can help my brother. And let's see how he can help me. And we move on closer to God. Amen. I wholeheartedly believe that with all my heart. Amen. I think that's what works. And I think that's what's going to help us move forward. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, this morning, we just want to go ahead and go to the Word of God this morning. So let's just bow our heads before we read the Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you this morning. We realize, Lord, that we're nothing within ourselves, Lord, but you are our sufficiency this morning, Lord. You are our all, Lord. You are everything to us, Father. You are our life, Lord, physical and spiritual. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask you this morning, Father, that you would just forgive us for our sins and our iniquities, Lord. We failed you in many ways, Lord. In our heart, Lord Jesus, we desire not to fail you at all. We desire the perfection, Lord, that your word talks to us about, Lord God. But Lord Jesus, we know that we're perfected in the inside, and eventually, Father, this body, Lord, will catch up to that, Lord. And so, Father, we're just feeding on your word this morning, feasting upon it. Pray, Lord, that you would bless us as your word goes forth. Meet every need amongst us. And Lord, help us to draw closer to you, Lord. Be with Brother Dale, Lord. Continue to strengthen our brother, Lord. Our Father, he's labored many years, Father God. And Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would just help him, Lord, in this hour of need, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, for the touch that you've already given him, Lord. And we just confess it, Father God, that it's going to be a further touch, Lord Jesus. Amen. Watch over Brother Wade and Brother Dale and the family, Lord, as they're out right now. And just keep them safe on the roads, Lord. And we just commit ourselves now into your hands in this service. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 This morning, let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, And I want to title this, What is God's Mirror Saying About You? That's a question mark. What is God's mirror saying about you? Not what it said or what it will say, but what is it saying now? Because the mirror of God, amen, as we should be, it should be active. It's an active word. It's a living word. And it's constantly telling us where we're faltering and where we're not. We'll get to it. Amen. But be ye doers, James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's clear. It's clear like the mirror. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. It's a hard thing sometimes. Amen. Especially when the brother or the sister is telling you, saying something to you, just getting on your nerves. It's hard. Like what Brother Bob was talking about this morning. I want to get angry. But that's not going to, it's not going to make anything better. You pray for the brother. Pray for the sister. Watch what the Bible says here. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You deceive your own selves when you do that. When you don't put the word into action. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And that is a mirror. For he beholdeth himself. In other words, he looks at himself quickly. Notice that it's using the he. Because a man, he kind of does that. But a woman, she stays in the mirror a good bit. She makes sure that she takes care of, you know, of her look, and some men too. But he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was, or in other words, what image he just now looked at. You see? But watch what he says here. But whoso looketh into the perfect mirror or the law of liberty, and not just looks, but watch what it says, and continueth therein. Right? That's key. And continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. So this morning, saints, I want to talk about this morning, and I want to challenge you all this morning. I want to talk about the mirror of God. Amen. I'm going to put this right here as an example for, hopefully it doesn't fall. The mirror of God, amen? What does the mirror say about you? When you look at it, amen? You may have your seats this morning. It's so good to have the Marungas back this morning. Sarah, we missed you. We missed David, and we missed Sister Anna. And we miss Brother Anderson too. Amen. No, we certainly, we all thought about you all. And we're like, my, when are they going to get back? Because we miss when the family of God isn't. Amen. All of us are here. Amen. You all are just as much family as closer than even natural family is. Amen. Praise God. Because you're the ones who we're going to live in eternity with. So you should be excited to see one another. Amen. Amen. But what does the mirror of God say about you? Amen. Amen. Brother Branham would say like this. He says this in the message of identification. And that's what we want to look at tonight or this morning. I want to look at me, and I want you to look at yourself. And as we look into God's great mirror of his word. So that's what the mirror is his word. Amen. Let's be able to identify ourselves. Amen. With some that we're going to speak about, some of the characters of other times. And I want to see myself in God's looking glass, Because if anything will show you where you're standing, if anything will show you where you're standing, it's this book. Amen? There's no book like it. There's no book like it because it is all truth. Amen. I don't say that other books are not true, but I know this one's true. It's all truth because it's the Word of God. Amen. So first of all, we have to establish that this Word is all truth. Amen. And if you don't believe that the Word of God is true and or some things are true and some things, amen, there's a problem right there. The mirror of God can't help you then. There's cracks in the mirror. So in some areas you're seeing certain good parts of yourself, but in other areas it's cracked, and a cracked mirror can't help you. When you're looking at a mirror, amen. When you're looking at the Word of God in a perverted way, I believe this, but I don't know about this. I'll apply this in my life because it's easy, but I can't apply this in my life. Amen. You are looking at God's Word as if it's cracked. And you think that that is helping you, but in reality, it's not giving you the perfect image or the perfect solution for you to take action upon God's Word. You see what I'm saying? Because as we're going to talk about here in just a moment, amen, when you look at a mirror, amen, it puts you into action. And that's what James is talking about here, amen. When we look into the mirror of God, amen, it's supposed to put us into action to do something. To do something about it and not just looking at it or just hearing it, but to do something about it. Amen. Amen. And that's the problem that we have. Amen. Is that we don't put the Word of God into action. We are good Sunday and Wednesday Christians, but not good during the week to put what we heard on Wednesday and Sunday into action. Amen. That's you. Amen. Taking that mirror with you everywhere you go. I'm putting this. I'm going facing this situation. Let's see what the mirror of God says. Amen. And then I'm putting it into action. Amen. I'm walking. I'm going to work. Let's see what the grunt of the situation. Amen. Let's see what the mirror of God says. Amen. Every single moment you are. Amen. You're always got the mirror before you. Praise the Lord. I don't want to embarrass Natalia too much. We'll go over to Michael. Praise God. The mirror of God. Yes. It never lies. Right. It always tells the truth. Absolutely. Ain't that right, Zach? It always tells the truth. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So what is a mirror? Well, we see what a mirror is. But a definition of a mirror is a piece of glass that reflects images. Yes. I mean, something that shows what another thing is like in a very clear and accurate way. Amen. It's very scary if I looked in this mirror and I saw someone else. Man, I looked at myself and then I see Zach in the mirror. The world? What's going on? That's kind of creepy, actually. Or some other image. Kind of like when in the movie Snow White, you know, when the Wicked Witch was looking in the mirror and she would see that image there, that face. It wasn't her, but the mirror was talking back to her. Amen. It would be scary. Amen. But when you look, remember, the mirror is the Word of God. When you look into the Word of God, amen, it's supposed to reflect light on you because it is light. And then you can see yourself as you're looking into it is exposing every single thing in your life that is not supposed to be there. Amen. We have mirrors. Amen. For example, there's vanity mirrors that have lights, light around it. It's shining light, and then so that you can see yourself better. So that's what the Word of God is. Amen. You can't see yourself in a mirror in the dark. Amen. You can't see yourself in a mirror, amen, when there is no presence of light. There already has to be a presence of light right there for you to be able to see yourself properly in the mirror. But that's how some of us is. Amen. We've seen the light, but we don't stay in the mirror long enough in order to use that light of the Word. Amen. To be able to fix ourselves up the way we need to. You see? Spiritually speaking. Amen. Amen. Now, So it's something that shows another thing like a very clear, accurate way. Something that gives a true representation. Amen. A mirror never lies. All right. And as I said, a mirror, amen, can only act. It must reflect the light. A mirror reflects light. It doesn't hold in light. You see? It's shining light and it's reflecting light back to you so that you can see yourself. And that's how a mirror works. Now, in the Bible times, they didn't have mirrors made out of glass and the way we have them now. They use mirrors of brass. Those are the types of mirrors that they used. Amen. And the way James talks about it here is that the man looks into the mirror. Amen. And the way back then that they had to look into the mirrors is they had to kind of manipulate the mirror or that brass and manipulate it in a way that okay, right there, it looks good. I'm getting all the light so that I can see myself. And that's what James is talking about. Amen. You take time. Amen. When you're looking in the Word of God, when you're looking in the message of God. Amen. You take time in order to see yourself properly. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Because this is how some of us, amen, we take the Christian life.
Oh my.
Come on.
Oh.
And move on. And you got something on your face that you need to clean up. You ain't shaved in I don't know how long. For the teenagers, and you got a busted pimple, amen, that you busted and you didn't clean up. Sorry, that sounds nasty. But that's how some of us, we walk spiritually. With something on our face, a stain on our shirt, something on our life, and this is what we do. Oh, that's okay. The mirror can't help you. The mirror is there to show you, amen, to the whole time. Oh, look what I have here. Oh my. Then it puts you into action.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The mirror puts you into action. Praise God.
Amen.
Now I'm just going to put it right here like that so that it
goes.
Yeah. So the Word of God, amen, is supposed to put us into action. Amen. Praise God. Now, James, when he was talking here to the believers, amen, he was talking, he wasn't talking to unchristian people. He was talking to Christians. He was talking to believers. Amen. Who loved the Word of God and would look into the Word of God. But something that was happening that they were not seeing their faults or themselves properly in order to continue, amen, properly walking with God. Amen. Because he tells them, amen. And in James 1, verse 22, he calls them my brethren. So they were his brothers. They were fellow believers. In verse 16 there, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. So he wasn't talking about sinners out here. Amen. He was talking to believers. Amen. And believers do that. Believers, amen, don't read the Word of God the way they should. But you believe, but you are not in the Word of God sufficient or in the mirror of God in order for you to realize that there's something wrong in your life. Oh, I'm okay. I've been in this all my life. This is what I grew up with. Amen. And realities, something is cankering inside of you. Amen. Hate, deceit, something, amen, is cankering you. But you think you are okay because you haven't spent full time in detail in the Word of God. Because the Word of God exposes all those things. And sometimes he does it through a preacher. And just like the wicked witch, amen, in Snow White, amen, she was fine. She was just fine when the mirror was telling her she was the most beautiful, amen. When she would say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You are. Oh, I like that. I like it when the preacher tells me I'm doing good and you are the bride and oh, we're going to make it and all those good things, amen. Because the preacher, amen, should be using the mirror of God, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Shining that mirror upon you, right?
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
What's that? Michael said. I'm showing you, amen, what the mirror shows, right? I'm not altering the image at all or anything. I'm just showing you who you are. But why should you get mad? That's you. Sorry? The mirror of God, the Word of God. We're just preaching, amen, what's wrong with you if it's the Word of God.
That's right.
But you get mad. Then the problem is you. And it's not the preacher's fault. Oh, it's that brother and that sister's fault, amen, that my kids started going the way they are. No, it's the problem might be with you. You as the parent. Amen. It's the problem of such and such family, amen, in the church. Amen. No, the problem can be with you. Well, that preacher, amen, steps on my toes too much. No, the problem can be with you. Amen. The Word of God is clear.
Yes.
It's a mirror. Amen. Look at yourself in it.
Amen.
The problem is we don't look. We spend too much time at making sure that other people are looking in their mirrors. And you don't look at yourself in your own mirror. Ooh. That mirror over there looks better, and I hope he's looking at it. Brother Jonathan, I hope you're looking in the mirror. Because he's got some problems I don't, or vice versa. I hope he gets that taken care of in his life. Amen. What about your problems? Oh, I grew up in the message. I've been in the mess 40 years. Amen. You got problems, spiritual problems, thinking about the brother that way. Oh, come on now. But you see, we don't think about ourselves because in that way, because, hey, we're under a cover of the church. We're under a cover of the ministry at the church. And we don't think that nothing is wrong with us. And in reality, it's all wrong. You just don't see yourself. See, a liar doesn't think he's a liar. A cheater doesn't think he's a cheater. A gossiper doesn't think he's a gossiper. A backbiter, a long-tongued person doesn't think that they're a long-tongued person. It's when something or someone exposes it, it's when they realize, hopefully. Because sometimes, amen, you expose it and they still don't. What are you talking about? Oh, you must be talking about him. Oh. Amen. I want to look in the mirror of God. And if the preaching, amen, is stomping on my toes that I need band-aids on every single toe, amen. God, so be it. I want it, amen. Because I want to get out of here. And I know that that's your desire too. Praise the Lord. Sometimes preaching can't be soft. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we need it hard, especially if the minister or the pastor, amen, is seeing something, amen. He knows his sheep, amen, well. And that's what a true shepherd does, amen. He looks at his sheep and he says, wait, all right, this person in their life. Now, you're not going to preach against just that one person in a whole sermon, amen. You use wisdom, amen. But he knows the needs of his sheep. And he's going to use not his opinions or his own thing, amen, to try to hit that brother or sister. He's going to use the Word. The Word is the expository. The Word is the mirror. Right? Praise the Lord Jesus. So these believers, amen, they loved the Word. They had heard the Word. They had seen the light. But they were not putting the light. The light wasn't putting them into action. And that's the problem with us in this hour, amen. We don't put the light of God, amen. We don't put the Word of God into action, amen. Now, the word activate, amen, and it means this, amen. Make something active or operative. Or in other words, to turn on, amen, or to operate, or to start, amen, to start up, to trigger, to get going, to set in motion. Amen. That is what the word activate means. Amen. And when we look into the Word of God, amen, and we don't put it into action, amen, that is not you activating the Word of God. Amen. You read the promise. You saw the promise. You looked in the mirror. Amen. But it wasn't sufficient enough to put you into action. This morning when I got up, amen, and I went to the mirror. It was terrible, by the way. But I went to the mirror and I looked and I saw that I needed to take care. My beard was a little bit grown out. And I said, you know, I don't want to go behind the pulpit with that scruff, you know. So what did I do? It put me into action and I started shaving. And started, and the whole time I'm looking in the mirror, amen, it's showing me where I need to shave. What areas I need, oh, I'm missing here. Oh, I'm going to look right here. But the mirror is showing me the whole time. And we don't spend enough time in the Word of God, amen, to do that. Oh, it's sufficient that I just did a little 5-minute devotional in the morning. That's all right. It's okay. But you only shaved half of your face. You still got a bunch of right here. For us men. Oh, you sisters, amen, then fix your hairs. You only fix one side of it, but the other side still. That's how we do with a 5-minute devotional. With a 2-minute prayer. Amen. But when you spend time, and I'm talking about you're not leaving there until you get results. You're not leaving the mirror, amen. Some of us, amen, we don't leave the mirror until I look the way I need to look. That's how we should treat the Word of God. You ain't leaving the Word of God, amen. I'm not leaving this example, amen, until I'm reflecting the image of Jesus Christ. Until I look exactly like Jesus, amen. That's how we should take the Word of God. Praise God. Amen. Brother Branham says this. He says, now he could reveal some things to you. This is striking right here. He says, he could reveal some things to you, and if you don't believe it, it'll never be active in your life. You have to believe it. Now think of Peter, for example. Peter had, he was asked, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? By Jesus himself. And Peter, what is his reply? Peter replies, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was a revelation to Peter. But it wasn't sufficient active in order to, he still denied him. It was enough revelation that he had. It was exactly what Brother Branham said here. Now, God could reveal something to you, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to be active in your life. It wasn't sufficient enough, amen, to give Peter, amen, the strength to not deny Jesus. But he had a revelation. And I'm afraid that some of us, that's how we walk. I go to church, I've been revealed, I've been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. I got enough revelation, amen, to take me to church, to do something in the church, amen. But the Word of God, amen, that revelation isn't putting you into action. And that's our problem, amen. We need to put the Word of God into action. Not be, what, hearers only, but doers of the Word of God, amen. You have to take God at His word, just like Mary did when she, the angel, met her and said, you're going to have a child knowing no man. That's what Mary did. There was no example of that in the Bible. So she could ask the question, Lord, how can this be? Seeing that I know not a man, because it never had happened before. Right? Now, she didn't wait till she was positive. She didn't wait till she seen the signs of it. Didn't wait till she felt like, or something. No, just as quick as the angel said it. She went to rejoicing and happy, telling everybody, I'm going to have a baby. Not knowing any man. Defying nature. See why she didn't wait till any evidence. She didn't wait till she was sure like we do. A little phrase. She didn't wait. I'm going to make sure that I understand everything about water baptism before I go get baptized. I want to make sure that I understand everything there is to understand about being born again. And I want to make sure that I get this out of my life first before I start going to church or living right or whatever. Put XYZ. No. As soon as you hear it and you know it's truth, take action. Put it to action because that activates that promise in your life. Amen. That activates that word into your life. Amen. Praise God. That mirror can't help you. Amen. If you don't put into action what you're seeing. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Activate the promises of God in that way. Amen. The Word of God says, I am healed. Amen. In this passage, amen. I don't feel it. I'm going to activate it. I'm going to believe it. And put it into action. I'm confessing. Amen. As the song goes, I'm confessing and believing and receiving what Jesus said. Amen. That's how we put it into action. Mary had no proof of that. Only what an angel was telling her. Amen. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And right up then through the country, she went rejoicing. Telling that she was going to have a baby before any sign of life ever showed it in any way. She took God at His word. Amen. That's how we should take God at His word. Amen. If the word of God says it, I believe it. If the mirror of God says it, I believe it. I'm gonna put it into action. Amen. Praise God. Now, we know that a mirror cannot lie. Amen. It always gives a true image. Praise God. Always. So we should have more confidence in the word to help us than we do. Sometimes we run into a problem and the last thing we do is go into the word of God. Sometimes we run into issues in our life and the last person that we talk to is God. We talk to everybody else. And we call the pastor and we talk to the doctor and we call brother so-and-so in such a state. And let's see what God says about it. I've been there. But God has the answer to you. God's mirror shows you what you need to do. God's mirror shows you how you need to tie your tie. Amen. I can tie a tie without looking in the mirror. But it sure helps to have a mirror. Amen. You see? You can probably get help, amen, from anybody, somewhere. But if it's not the help of God, amen, it's not perfect help. Amen. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so can come and ask you for help. What's your opinion about this situation? Or what can you help me with this? Amen, I can only do so much. I don't have the answers to, but the word of God does. Because it's the perfect mirror of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the word of God is the perfect mirror, and it tells it like it is. Amen? Tells it like it is. We don't like it. We don't like it when the mirror tells it like it is. That brother's too strong. That brother's too blunt. That's what a mirror is. A mirror is blunt.
Yes, right.
Especially when you turn it this way right here. Look at this. The 3X zoom. It says 3X right here. And when you look at that mirror, hey, Sister Regina, look at that mirror. Look at it's blunt, isn't it? But it ain't showing Sister Charlotte's problems, though, right? It's showing your issues. I ain't saying you got issues, Sister Regina. That's what the word of God is. The 3X zoom. Now we get away from the 3X zoom, you know, from the word of God like this, and if we're not close to the word, amen, it's going to show it. It's not going to show it properly, you see. But when we get close to it, oh my goodness, I have that in my life. I got to take care of that. The problem is that we don't get close to the word like we need to, because we think the word can't help us. It's just letters in a Bible in a book that were written there thousands of years ago. How am I supposed to know if it's true or not? Well, when you don't read it, when you don't get close to it, you're not going to be able to see if it can help you or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We were talking about the witch, the Snow White. Amen. That she was asking the mirror. Amen. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the greatest of them all or the prettiest? Amen. And she liked it when the mirror always said that it was her. And that's what Satan did at the beginning. He was the anointed cherub. He was beautiful. He still is. His looks haven't changed. He's just marring your image. He's marring your humanity's image to make a man look like a woman and a woman look like a man and a non-binary type person. Marring it, but he still is good. He's still the original creation. Amen. He looks good. But he wants to mar your image. Amen. But see, now he was happy at one point because he was trying to get, trying to be like God. But then the bride comes on the scene. Snow White comes on the scene. And so now, amen, when the witch, Satan, asked the mirror, the mirror is now saying, well, there's a girl, and this lives here, and this, that's, and that. Her skin is as snow as white, amen. Snow White. She's the most beautiful of them all. Satan hates that now. You know what the witch did in the movie? Who have seen that Snow White? All right, it's an old movie. But you know what the witch did? What did Satan get? He got jealous. He got jealous. When he knew that the perfect image of God, amen, was being reflected, amen, in us as well. He gets jealous. And so what does he try to do? He tries to mar your image, amen, in different ways. He tried to get in your life. He tries to bring that poison apple into your life. And he uglies himself. Looks like an old, in the movie, she put on, she made herself look ugly and like an old ugly person. And she gives this apple to Snow White. Just a simple little apple. Just a simple little worldly thing, XYZ, whatever you want to say. Just a simple little song. Just a simple little website. And you know what? That apple caused Snow White to die. Amen. There's that simple little thing in your life, amen, that you allow in your life that Satan probably say, because what? He wants to mar your image, remember. He wants to mar the way you were meant to be. The way God seen you from the beginning, he wants to mar it now. So that it's hard later on in life, amen, to come back to where you were before he marred it. Don't wait till then, young people. Don't wait till Satan has marred your image, amen, in such a way that it's hard, amen, to come back to when before he started marring it in that way. Look in the mirror now. Because Satan has his tricks up his sleeve, amen. Poison apples. All kinds of poisonous things, amen, he throws at you, amen, to try to mar your image. Praise God. And we see it today. He hates the image of God. He hates the image of God. He hates what God originally created. And therefore, you see the abominations that you see out here in the world. Amen. Man looking like woman and women and women looking like man. And sometimes you don't even know what that is. It's sad. I don't even know what to even call it sometimes. A he, she, he, an android. You know what an android is? It's a person that you can't tell if it's a man or a woman. It's androgynous. And then you see that now more and more. And kids are being told that that's okay. It's okay to not know your identity. But the mirror shows you the right identity. The mirror tells you, amen. The mirror of God tells me that in the beginning, God created man and woman. That's all the mirror says. And the mirror for all your life has told you, amen. The mirror, you look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm an android. No. The mirror tells you, amen, you're a man, you're a woman. Yes, sir. Or you're a woman. Yes, sir. You're a girl or you're a boy. Yes, sir. But it's the world, it's Satan, his poison apple that comes to your life and tries to blur that into your life. Amen. This is what Satan does. Amen. Right here. This is reflecting the images, right? Ain't that right, Michael? You see yourself there? You don't. It's a mirror, though. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is what you're supposed to look like, Zach. Don't you see it? Something's wrong with you. That's what you're supposed to look like, Natty. Elizabeth, you're supposed to look just like that. That's what the world tries to tell you that you're supposed to look like. A blurred mess. But it's reflecting an image. It's reflecting light. This is aluminum foil, by the way. And it reflects light in order to keep food warm. Right? At least that's how I think it works. But when we sometimes, we get past this point. Oh, no, I'm not going to accept all that stuff that the media tells me. The media is shoving down LGBTQ plus RQFLMLOPQRSTUVWXYZ down my throat. I don't even know what, they even got their own types of flags now. And it looks all foggy and dingy. It don't look clear like the mirror of God does, don't it? But that the media said, Fox News and CNN says that it's okay. And then sometimes, you know, we don't accept that. And we get religious about it. So we turn it to the other side. And it looks a little bit better, right? Sister Kathy, you see yourself there a little bit better, right? Better than this side, right? Ain't that right, Zoe? I can have confidence in that. But you know what? That's what people do. Amen. They're just churchgoers. They just use religion. Amen. In their life. Amen. And that's enough. That's good enough for me. But you're not seeing. It's not clear like that. Is it? I believe the message. I believe God sent a prophet. That's all some of us get to. And it is not clear. Does that make you want to live a holy life and clean up yourself? Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Which one's better? Yeah. Why take a substitute when you can have the real? Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah. There's real mirror out there. Yes, sir. You don't have to accept the substitute. No. You don't have to accept anything that the devil, amen, shoves down your throat. Amen. Whatever lie he shoves down your throat, amen, you don't have to accept it when there's something real. As a matter of fact, it has 3x zoom in it. Praise God. I hope that makes a little sense. Hope you don't think, well, he's just blaspheming us up there holding aluminum foil. Well, it makes the point. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We're almost done. Proverbs 27:19 says this: as a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. And remember what Jesus said. He said, amen, as the heart, as what is in the heart, that's what the mouth speaks. Or in other words, I like to take it as whatever's in your heart, that's what comes out of you. That's what you live out. Amen. Jesus said that, amen, for the tree is known by this, by his fruit. And then he says in Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever you watch, whatever you listen to, whatever you feed on, whatever you consume in your life, yes, it's what you're going to speak, is what you're going to live. Yes. Right? So there's many mirrors in life. There's the mirror of social media. Yes. You're feeding on that, and then you're living your life, amen, by that mirror. That's what that mirror tells me, that I've got to be more like this, this, that, and the other. Amen. In reality, that's all fake. There's no reality about that. That's a fake mirror. And or the mirror I've got to make money in my life. I've got to take care of this business. Amen. And that's the mirror that you live by. Money is the thing. I got to sustain my family. And you don't hardly go to church. But you're sustaining your family. There's a problem there. Your children will see that. That's the mirror that some of us, we live by. I got to sustain my business. The business mirror. But the business mirror is only temporary. Your soul is worth 10,000 worlds. Your soul, amen, is more important than your business. Your kids will see that. Amen. It's whatever you put, what you put before God, amen, that's your God. Oh, I don't like it. He was waving the aluminum foil in front of me. I liked that when he was doing that, but now he's getting a little bit too personal. That's what the mirror does. What the mirror, amen, whatever you put before God, amen, is your God. Amen. If you don't think it's important, amen, to go to church, or if you don't think it's important, amen, to read your Bible, if you don't think it's important, amen, then something else is replacing that. Amen. Something else in your life is replacing that. So that's your mirror. That's your standard. Praise God. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Amen. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Amen. So it's what you feed on. Amen. Good mirrors always tell the truth. Amen. They always tell us the truth, even if we don't like what we see. The Word of God is a mirror you can rely on. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. The mirror of God is something that you can rely on. Amen. When you're looking in the mirror, amen, in order for that mirror to give a clear picture, amen, you've got to get close to the mirror. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. In order for God's Word to give you a clear picture of who you are, you have to draw close to it. Amen. And we don't go to the mirror to look at the imperfections of the mirror. I hope you don't do that. Sisters, you don't go look at the mirror, amen, this morning when you got up, amen, to look in the mirror to see what's wrong with that mirror. That mirror needs to be fixed. That's not a holy mirror. It's telling me something wrong. No, the mirror doesn't lie. You went to the mirror this morning because you're hoping the mirror tells you a truth about yourself that you didn't know before you got to the mirror, right? But then once you get to the mirror, amen, you don't look. When we look at the Word of God, we're not looking for imperfections in the Word. We're looking for the Word to expose our imperfections. We're the ones with the imperfections, amen? The Word of God doesn't have any. The Word of God is perfect because He's perfect, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Brown says this, that's the way God sees you. It ain't what you see your own self. It's the way God sees you. No man sees himself wrong. It's when you look in the mirror of God's Word, it tells you whether you're wrong or not. Yes, sir. But we don't take time to do it. So we don't know that we're wrong or not. We think we're right. And we live life like we're right. And we think we're happy and everything is just fine and hunky-dory. But you're wrong. Because the Word of God says you're wrong. Now it's up to you, amen, to take action in your life. Yes, sir. Amen? Praise God. Jesus, amen, He gave us the perfect example of what we ought to be looking at. Amen? When He reflected His life, amen, through us, amen. When He came here on earth, amen, He said, I only do that what the Father shows me. Yes. Amen. I'm only going to live out what the mirror, amen, tells me. Amen? Because He was just as much human as He was God. So He was more concerned about what God's mirror said, to do what God's mirror said than His own opinion. Amen? Praise God. Amen. So let's read here real quick. Amen. Because sometimes the mirror of God, amen, tells us, amen, that we are a certain way. And it's the mirror of God, amen, is pulling for us or it's rooting for us. But we don't accept it. Because we feel so downtrodden down in life and so depressed. I'm never going to get out of this mode in my life. I'm just like this. I can't change. But the Word of God says something different about you. And sometimes we don't take action, amen, to fix the things that are wrong in our life. But yet we don't take action sometimes to see what God is really rooting for you. And you're the one who's trotting yourself down. Right. Amen? You take, for example, the children of Israel in Numbers. Amen. You can go back to Numbers in chapter 13. And you read there, and this 10 spies were told, amen, to go to the land that's flowing with milk and honey to the promised land. And they were to give a report. Now, Caleb and Joshua was one of those 10 spies. And they were looked, and they saw that there was trouble. There were giants in the land. There was, things that they were going to have to confront. And so when they came back to give Moses the report, amen, 8 out of the 10 spies were talking and telling Moses, we see that it's good. We know that the land is good. We know that going to church is good. And we know that living the Christian life is good. But we can't do it. Brother so-and-so can. Sister so-and-so can. Michael can do it, but I can't. It's exactly what they were telling Moses. And watch what they say. There's something key. If you read in Numbers, amen. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 33, or 13. Numbers 13, verse 33, it says, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers." They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And watch. "And so we were in their sight." So however they saw themselves is how they thought that the world was looking at them too. You see, the way you think you are, the way you look at yourself, is the way you think others look at you. You use that mirror of your own self, of your own marred image, of your own thing, amen, to think that that's how people look at you. And that's what was happening, amen, here with the children of Israel. But if you go back and read in verse 30, previously, amen, Caleb and Joshua, they were looking at something different. They were looking at a different mirror. Amen. They were looking at the promise of the mirror of God. Amen. The mirror of the promise of God that said that I'm going to give you this land. He didn't say how they were going to do it or what they were going to do or the details of it. He just said, I give it to you. Just go and possess it. It's yours. You have joy in your life. The Holy Ghost is yours. Healing is yours. Amen. All these benefits of the word, amen, they're yours. But it's up to you to go and take them. Amen. And that was their testimony. Amen. Caleb says this. He says this in verse 30. He says, when they were there in the previous verses, they were there talking unbelief. They got the revelation, but they were talking unbelief. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Stilled the people. Shut up. Be quiet. That's not according to the promise. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Amen?
Yes.
For we, not just him, but we are well able to overcome it. How did he know that? He was only seeing the promise. The promise of God said that we can, that we're going to. All the way back from Abraham. And that's what Caleb and Joshua was looking at. Amen? But the devil comes in with that poison apple and says, you're a depressed person. You need medication in your life. You need all kinds. At 15, you need medication? Something's wrong. Satan's giving you 3, 4, 5, 6 poison apples then. Because, I mean, it's sad to see that our young people nowadays, they battle these mind battles. Satan's really giving out these poison mind apples, amen, in their life. And some of us as adults, we just kind of stand around and just, oh, they'll figure it out themselves. We try to draw them, amen, closer to the mirror of God that can help them. Ultimately, it's up to them to make the decision. It's up to you. It's up to you, young people, amen, to get out of the ruts that you're in. We can only take you up to a certain point, but it's up to you to make that decision yourself. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to just stay right there? Or are you just going to, are you going to move on with God? Amen? There's too much of God, amen, for me to just stay where I am. In my rut, or in my depressed state. Amen. If you have a desire to have a family, amen, then you've got to get out of that place that you're in, that depressed mode or that mode that you're in, amen. You've got to. You wanna make something out of yourself, you wanna help others in life, you've got to help yourself. The Word of God, amen, gives you the medicine. No excuse in this hour. Caleb wasn't looking at that. Amen. He was looking at, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And then when you read in the next chapter, amen, in the next chapter, Caleb and Joshua are trying to tell the people, we are able to. Come on, let's go. We can't make it. We're looking at the promise. Amen. And that's what we're doing. Amen. In this hour. Amen. Us as ministers. Amen. In this hour. We are trying to root you. Amen. To keep going. Keep moving forward. Amen. The promise is yours. Just go and possess it. It's laying in the Word already. It's you. You see it. But now go and take action. Go do something about it. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, let's skip some of this here for the sake of time. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We're going to be changed into that image, amen, of Jesus Christ. The more we look at Jesus Christ, we're going to be looking more like Him. Amen. One of the examples that I like, amen, is when David sinned, amen, and he, Nathan the prophet, amen, came to him and exposed his sin, pulled the mirror right in front of him, and told it to him just like it is, because he had to. God had told him to go tell David what he had done. I'm not pleased with. But yet he thinks he's still okay because he's a king and he's got a position and he's okay. Amen. I'm not pleased with that. So the preacher came to David and preached on him. Told him a thing or two according to the Word of God. Amen. And you know what God calls David after he was a murderer, he was an adulterer, he did with the things he did. God calls David a man after my own heart. You know why? Because immediately when David heard his sin, and he immediately, he knew that that was the man that Nathan the prophet was talking about. He said, I have sinned. He said, he immediately went to go to repentance mode. Amen. And you see his repentance in Psalms chapter 51, 52, somewhere around there. Amen. David was with tears, repenting. I mean, he wasn't even eating. He was really sorry for what he did. But yet, Nathan the prophet tells Nathan the prophet to tell David, tell him that I have already forgiven his sin. Even before David actually went to the actual act of repenting. Because he knew David was going to do that. Amen. In in 2 Samuel 12:13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So God lied or he didn't. God had already in his mind already forgiven David because he knew what David was going to do. See, God lives in time frames. Amen. He doesn't live in time. He lives in a different way than we live. You see, he knew David's heart. Amen. What do you do when someone exposes something in your life? And it's the truth. Well, it's the truth, but I don't like the way she said that. I don't like the way he said it. But he just came to the Word. He said it to you with the Word. I still don't like it. Who is he or she to tell me that? I've been in this church 40, 50 years. There's a problem with you then. It's not a problem with the word. And it's not a problem with the preacher. The problem is you. Amen. Brother Branham said this, look at yourself. Just imagine, let's stand to our feet. Look at yourself. Let the musicians come. Look at yourself. Just imagine a mirror before you. You're looking at yourself. Watch. Am I honest? Am I honest? Am I sincere? Do I really, in my heart, do I serve the Lord? Ask yourself those questions. Do I really, in my heart, serve the Lord? Because remember, amen, whatever's in your heart, that's what's going to come out. So, if it's contrary to the word, then that shows that you're not serving the Lord. Amen? Do I really, in my heart, do I serve the Lord? Say, I serve it. Look in you women with bobbed hair, wear shorts. Look at you that does these things. Look at you men who let your wife just to say, am I a son of God or am I a sodomite? Oh, that's pretty strong. And you women say, am I really a modern woman? Or am I some antediluvian something that Jesus said would be here in the last days again? Think it over. Brother Branham says, look at yourself. See your own being expresses what you are. And if you're not right, will you be honest enough to just to be honest now? Amen? Amen. You don't have to come up front. You don't have to do anything. But there in your seat, ask yourself that question. Am I truly living an honest life? Or am I deceiving myself? As James said, I only come to church and I hear the word, but I don't go out and practice it. I could be the right first one. I'll raise my hand. I've got to do more about that. Amen. God help us. I think we all need to. Amen. So what is the mirror of God saying about you? Amen. I hope this helps you this morning. Let's just bow our heads before we sing a song. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to have opened back the pages of your word. We pray, Lord, that something was said, Lord, that would help the people, strengthen them, Lord Jesus. And Father God, help us to be constant, Father, in your mirror, Lord. Looking at ourselves, because the mirror doesn't expose itself. It exposes us, Lord. It exposes our folly. We ask you, Lord, to be merciful unto us. Forgive us, Father, where we've failed you, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, and cleanse us, Father, from all unrighteousness. We just commit the rest of the service, your people, as they're heading out and about, Lord, into your hands. Watch over them, Father, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song. Amen.
Teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees, till in your good time, you answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to
Dismissed. Amen. God bless you. Remember service at 2.
Feed upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up.